Amen. Amen. Well, I am excited about the word of God this morning, prayerful and hopeful that the Spirit will guide us in discerning the voice of God to hear a word for our lives and for our time. We have been in an accidental series. I say accidental because I did not mean for it to happen, but the Holy Spirit arrested my attention with this powerful passage in Exodus and wouldn't let it go. So though I did not mean to create a series, we have found ourselves wrapped up in this encounter with Moses. We have discussed, as we have attended to this powerful passage in Exodus, when God uses Moses to lead the Hebrew people out of bondage. We have talked about how God said to Moses, "You are not going to know that it's me that sent you until you get out, until you bring the people out and you're able to worship me on Mount Sinai." And how God similarly often says to us, "You're not going to know until you go." And we discussed last week with Moses how we eavesdropped on that cosmic conversation between God and Moses when God says to Moses, you don't need to know everything about me. All you need to know is that I am. And how in our lives, when we truly know that God is, there are things that we're able to handle that we didn't think we can handle. Snakes we can pick up that we didn't think we could pick up. And then today, I want to bring our attention to this final climactic scene, and then I'll leave y'all alone with Exodus. This final climactic scene, when Moses and the people have been faithful and God has been even more faithful, and they finally cross through, they find themselves at a critical moment. And I want to call our attention to this passage because I believe, and I am convinced that it speaks to us when we find ourselves in these critical moments. We have a critical step to take. And I know that the Holy Spirit will speak to us through these words that were spoken so long ago. So if you could, please attend with me to the reading of God's word. We are in the 14th chapter of Exodus. We're going to be reading from the 21st to the 29th verse. And it reads, "Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into a panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers.' So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned, covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea." Somebody say through the sea. "The waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left." Return with me, if you could, to verse 22. One more time in your hearing. "The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left." Please pray with me. Mighty God, who has been active from so long ago, mighty God, who has been active in our lives and indeed in the history of our people, mighty God, who still sits on the throne. God, we come to you in this hour anxious and eager to hear a word from your precious voice. Because God, when you speak, things change, mountains crumble and get out of our way, and we are transformed from the inside out. God, we come to you often with burdens, with fears, with things on weighing heavy on us, and we come to you expectant, God, that you in your mighty arms, you can help lift it. And God, so now in this hour, we ask that you clear out everything in our spirits that's not of you so that we might hear your voice loud and clear. I ask that in spite of the frailties of the preacher, God, your word might come forth with power to speak to us poignantly about the places where we are in our lives so that we might live lives that glorify you. Because God, that is our desire. We love you so much. We need you more than we can say. And our hope this morning is to encounter you and to heed your voice. It is in the powerful, the holy, and the eternal name of Jesus that together we say amen, amen, amen. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on the right and on the left. Today, when we meet the Hebrew people in this powerful passage of Exodus, today when we meet the Hebrew people, they are once again in a moment of great fear. This time when we meet them, we have seen them afraid from the beginning of our time with them. We've seen Moses afraid, and we have seen the people cowering in fear and hesitating and not sure whether they can make this journey. This time when we meet them, almost at the end of their journey, they are once again. Anybody know what it is to have walked through fear and get to a place where you find yourself facing another scary obstacle? They find themselves in this moment in a day of great fear. Today, when we meet them, they are in between. I need you to see this: an army and an ocean. They are in between an army that is pursuing them, and what they see in front of them is a body of water, an ocean. And when we read this story, we are often not as alarmed as we should be by the fear that arrests the people of Israel when they're walking this journey today. When we read this story, we know that Exodus is not the end of their story. We're able to turn in our Bibles and see that after Exodus comes Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. We're able to see that this is not the end, but they did not have that insight. They were not sure that this would not be their very last day on the planet. They were profoundly afraid in between this army and this ocean. They had legitimate reasons to be afraid. The army understandably scared them a great deal. This was the army of their enemies, the Egyptian army. This was a familiar fear. It was a familiar foe. It was a familiar group of people they had seen that had been tormenting them for 430 years. This was a familiar enemy, and the fear that they felt when they gazed upon this enemy, when they looked back and saw the army, I need you to see the fear that they felt was a familiar fear. They were used to this army. It had been 14 generations of this army, 430 years of this army. This was a familiar army that was behind them, and they were legitimately afraid. But do you know what? When we look at the text, we discover something very interesting when they consider this familiar foe that's behind them. They preferred the army. The Hebrew people, if you look at verse 11 and 12 with me, they said to Moses, "It was because there are no graves in Egypt that you took us out here on this journey to die out here. You should have let us," they said to him. "You should have let us go back and submit to the Egyptians. That army that's behind us, that army that scares us and that is mighty and that is cruel, that army that is death-dealing and bent on our destruction." Isn't it crazy when you consider the story of the Hebrew people that they preferred this army? See, this army was familiar. This army they had known for a while. This army they knew what it could do, and the fear they felt when they looked at this army, they had tasted that fear before. They said, "This army might be better. We should have gone back and submitted to them. This army would be better." They preferred the army behind them. Because when they looked back from the army and turned in this direction, what they saw in front of them was an ocean. We've talked before about how the Hebrew people, when they encountered this body of water, that the ocean to them represented what was unknown. We've talked before about how they had been, of course, kept in bondage for so many years that they had not yet encountered what it was to look over a body of water of this great expanse. They were kept in bondage in Israel, and so they didn't know what an ocean was. They were not allowed to go travel to the coast. They did not know what water, they had only seen streams and the water in the buckets in their homes. They did not know what an ocean was. And so even though there was an army behind them, and even though this army behind them was frightening and was death dealing, even though they knew what this army could do and what the Egyptian government was capable of, they preferred that army because when they looked out at the ocean in front of them, it was unknown. They didn't know how to swim. They had never been on a boat. All they knew about water was that they had heard stories about how sometimes it drowns people. They didn't know what an ocean was. And so when they looked at the ocean, for us, an ocean represents vacation. For us, an ocean represents relaxation. For them, it was a vast expanse of the unknown. And they preferred the army to the ocean. Isn't it funny when you look at your own life that it's often the unknown that scares us the most? We can see a foe behind us that's familiar. And often we will prefer that foe. We will prefer that fear that foe inspires in us. We will prefer the fear that we already know, the obstacle that we've already faced, the pain that's already been there. We will prefer what we know to the unknown. The unknown often inspires a fear much greater than the actual thing itself. The unknown often inspires in us a terror that is not proportionate to what we actually see before us. Just like the Hebrew people, sometimes we find ourselves between an army and an ocean. And instead of saying, this ocean is something new, but this ocean is better than the army I've been through, sometimes we prefer the army that with which we are familiar. We prefer... Let me just make it personal. We prefer a relationship that's all kind of dysfunctional just because it's familiar. We prefer the job that we complain about 6 times a minute just because what's on the other side of that job, we don't know. We will stay in seasons of pain and of discomfort and of an enemy with which we are familiar just because what's on the other side of that experience is something that we are unfamiliar with. We prefer the army to the ocean. We are so terrified, just like the Israelites, of the unknown. I need you to see them with me. I need you to picture the forebears of our faith as they are on this critical day of their journey. I need you to see as we recount their story, as they're here between this army and the ocean. I need you to see them in this because another thing that they thought, they preferred the army behind them, the enemy that they already knew. They were afraid of what was unknown, and because they did not know how to cross what was in front of them. Because when they looked over the water in front of them, they thought, I've never done anything like that. I've never swum through something like that. I've never gotten on a boat that could take me that far. I don't know how to do this thing that's in front of me. What's in front of me is terrifying because I have not stepped into it yet. And because they saw what was in front of them and it was something they did not know, I need you to note that they thought, they concluded, they began to believe that the wilderness was where they were was their final destination. They began to believe that God had taken them to this place in between this army and the ocean, and this was where they're going to live out their days. They began to believe, and can you picture this with me? Because I can't say it the way that the Spirit is saying it to me. I need you to imagine with me. They were here between an army and an ocean, and they're looking out over the ocean. And because the ocean is something they have never yet crossed, and they don't know how, they begin to conclude, and something in their spirits begins to tell them that the place where they are, the wilderness where they find themselves, is going to be where they die, is going to be where they spend their final days, is going to be their final destination. They begin to conclude that this is all that God had in mind for them. This must have been what they intended. If you look with me at verse 11 and 12, is this not the very thing we told you? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to end our days here in the wilderness. They began to believe that the wilderness was their final destination. All that God had in mind for them. When we find ourselves in wilderness moments, When we find ourselves in moments when things are chaotic around us and it's not the place where we thought we were going to be, when we find ourselves in moments of difficulty, in moments where life is it doesn't make sense and we're walking through things and we cannot see our way, when we find ourselves in these wilderness moments, and when on the edge of that wilderness there's something we've never seen. When on the edge of that wilderness, there's some obstacle that we have never yet crossed and we don't know how to get across it. When we find ourselves in wilderness moments and on the edge of that wilderness is a vast expanse of the unknown, we too, like the Hebrew people, we begin to conclude that this wilderness must be our final destination. That this must be all God had in mind for us. We begin to believe that this place where we find ourselves, where things don't make sense and aren't the way we had in mind, we begin to believe when there's an obstacle in front of us that we don't know how to cross, we begin to believe that this wilderness must be what God intended. This must be where we are going to live out the rest of our days. This must be the destination that God had in mind. The Hebrew people said to Moses, "Why did you take us here? Because here is where we are going to end." They began to believe that this wilderness was all God had in mind. God must just intend me to stay in debt forever, we might say to ourselves. God must just intend me to always be in vocational chaos. God must just intend for me to always be in the wilderness of being alone. God must just intend for my family to always be in this wilderness of dysfunction. This just must be where God meant for me to stay. This must be the final destination. This must be what God intended. And why do we do that? Because sometimes when we look at the edge of our wilderness, we see something that we don't know how to cross. Wilderness is part of the journey sometimes. Wilderness, the places that don't make sense, the places where things are not the way we want them to be. Wilderness, it is part of the journey sometimes. But what we see with the Hebrew people is that this is not where God intended them to stay. We see with the Hebrew people that they thought, now I need y'all to see this with me, they thought this was their final destination. They thought the place of their wilderness where things weren't making sense, where chaos was all around, where life was not as they had planned it to be, they thought it was their final stop. They thought God intended them to bring them here and for them to end their days in this place, but it was not where God intended to leave them. It was not what God had in mind for them. It was not the place where God wanted them to live out their days. No, this wilderness was not their destiny. It was not their final destination. God had in mind for them a place of promise. God had in mind for them a place on the other side. God had been telling them since the beginning. Since the time with Moses at the burning bush, God had been telling them, "I have a place for you and it's flowing with milk and honey. I have a place for you and it's a place of joy, a place of the real stuff in life, a place of plenty, a place of life," God was saying to them. But they couldn't believe it. They began to be convinced that the wilderness was their final destination. Why? Because when they looked at the edge of it, they saw an obstacle that was unknown to them, that they didn't know how to cross. In your life, it might be easy to arrive to a moment of wilderness. A moment where you are convinced, you begin to believe that maybe this is all God had in mind for me. I can't see my way out. I don't know how to cross these things in front of me. So maybe this wilderness is all God had in mind. Maybe this is my final destination. Maybe I will live out my days here. But God says to the Hebrew people, "No, I have a place of promise for you. This is not the end of your story. And if you would believe my voice and trust in the name of the Lord your God, you would know that there is more to your story." And I need us to know this morning as we encounter the story of the Hebrew people as they fight their way through the wilderness and they find themselves in this moment of fear. I need you to know in your own wildernesses that this is not what God intends for you. No. This place of lack and of fear is not the place. No, God has a place. God said, a place flowing with milk and honey. Don't get convinced. Don't let the enemy convince you that this is all there is in your story. We all find wilderness can be part of the journey. But God is saying, I have a place of promise for you. Why did they believe that this wilderness was the only place they could ever be? Why did they begin to believe that the wilderness was the only place that God had intended that maybe they would just live out their days here? Well, because when they looked at the edge of it, they saw this ocean this vast expanse of the unknown, and they did not know how to cross it. There was a place of promise on the other side. And there was a place where that God had in mind for them, and there was a place where God was trying to take them to, but there was an ocean in between. Okay, can y'all see this with me? There was an ocean in between of their wilderness and the place of promise, this place where part of their spirit every now and then gets convinced, this must just be my life, this must just be my destiny, this must just be how life is supposed to be. But in between that wilderness and the place of promise that the other part of their spirit believes is the truth of the Lord their God, in between is an ocean of the unknown. In between is water that they've never seen. In between are choppy waves that they have only heard stories about what it's going to do to them. In between is an ocean of something that scares them, something they have never done, something they don't know how to do. It's in between their wilderness and their place of promise. And here is this ocean convincing them that this is where I have to stay because I don't know how to cross that. And God says, I have a place of promise for you. But what did they have to do? What did they have to do? If you look at the story, what did they have to do? When they faced their wilderness, the unknown on the other side, in order to get to the place of promise, what did they have to do? The text tells us the Israelites went into the sea. God is telling us that sometimes, in order to get to the places that God has promised us, the place of plenty and of joy, the places that when we close our eyes and we dream about, the places that we know God has promised to us, but sometimes we believe and sometimes we doubt. And in order to get across into the place of promise, what do we have to do? God says to us today, sometimes you have to walk through the water that scares you. What did they do? Look with me in the text. The Israelites went into the what? Where did they go? They went into the what? They went into the sea, this water that scared them, this water they had never seen before, this water that they thought would be the end of them, this water that was so scary to them that they preferred the army behind them, this water, they had to walk into it. Most of us want God to eliminate the sea. Most of us, when we're standing in front of an ocean that scares us, we want God to just take it completely out of our paths. We wish we never had to see it. God, take me another way. God, just, I don't want this ocean. Most of us want the sickness to just be eliminated. We don't want to go to the doctor. We don't want to do this. We don't want, God, lead me another way. We want the obstacles that come our way to be eliminated. We don't want to deal with it or do challenge. No, we take it as evidence that something's wrong. No, take it away. We want the sea to just be eliminated from our path. But that's not what God said to the Israelites today. God says, you need to walk into the what? Into the sea. You need to walk into what scares you. You need to walk into that water. And when you walk into that water, you will discover that step by step, I am there with you every step of the way. Their entire victory is predicated on their ability to walk into what scares them. Now you might say to me, oh, come on, Pastor Will, it's different. You might say to me, mine is scarier. I know what you're thinking. Mine is scarier. Look at their story. God had split it for them. You might say to me, come on. They got to wait until there was an easy path. You might say to me, they probably weren't that afraid anymore. The water was already forming a hallway for them. The path was there. If God would do a miraculous thing like that and split the waters, I wouldn't be so afraid. You might say to me, Pastor Will, come on, it's different. They were not afraid of that water anymore. I beg to differ. If you read the text, it says that the east wind blew all night. The east wind blew how long? All night. That means that it wasn't that God pushed a button and it formed a cosmic hallway for them and their fears dissipated. No, it means that the waters being separated depended upon the wind continuing to blow. And God didn't tell them a play-by-play and say, I'm going to blow the wind for precisely 45 minutes until you have time to pass through. And then it's going to change after that. No, God, just like God acts with us, didn't give them a play-by-play. God just said, I'm going to do my part. What I need you to do is walk. You might say to me, oh, they weren't that afraid. The water was split. No, no, no. I beg to differ with you because it says that the east wind was blowing all night, meaning that if any moment the wind ceased to blow, then the water would come tumbling back down on them faster than a parking spot is taken in Park Slope. It would come crashing down on them. And so I feel and I sense that as they walked into this water, they still felt the fear. As they walked into this unknown, they still were hearing the stories about how people drowned. As they walked into the water, they did not know what was going to happen, but they heard the voice of the Lord say, walk into the sea. I feel the Spirit of God saying to some of us, I know you're going to be afraid. I know you're going to be afraid when you walk into what you haven't done yet. Whew. I know you're going to be afraid when you let go of some things that you need to let go of, when you dive into some things that you need to dive into. I know you're going to be afraid because this water is something you've never done. I know you might feel the fear, but I'm asking you to walk anyway. As they began to walk, and trembling every step of the way, I imagine, and they saw that God did not leave them even for one second. They saw that their entire victory was predicated. I need you to hear this because some of us are at critical moments in our lives where we have a choice. Oh, we have a choice to go back to the army that we're familiar with. We have a choice to go back to the way of life that we're familiar with, the depression that's been our constant companion. Yes, it's a formidable foe, but at least we're familiar with it. The way of life, the places, the job, the day-to-day that we're familiar with, and we keep saying we don't like it. We keep saying we want to escape, but when we look back at the army, we say, maybe I'll stay there because what's in front of me is so scary. Their entire victory, the whole story of the Israelite people, we would not have a Bible. You see this Bible Jasmine is holding? We would not have the rest of it if they did not walk into what scared them. Their whole victory was predicated on their ability to walk into the sea, to walk into the sea, to walk into this thing they had never seen before. Waters that frightened them. Oh, I don't know what the waters are that frighten you today. I don't know what the choppy waves are that make you feel like, you know what, maybe I'll just stay in Egypt. Whew. I don't know what God is asking you to walk into. And you feel like, yes, I'll do it when it's 3 p.m. But then when it's 11 p.m., 12 p.m., and you're 12 a.m., excuse me, math is not my, I have other gifts. When it's 11 p.m., 12 a.m., and the voices begin talking to you, and you begin to say, yes, I wanted to do it, but now it's getting late in the night, and I'm a little bit afraid, and I just don't know if I can believe those promises, and I've never done that before, and I just don't know how it's going to go, and I'm still afraid, so let me wait till the fear is gone. You know what? Let me just stay in Egypt. God is saying, I know there's a sea before you. I know it scares you, but you need to walk into it. And this sisters and brothers, I just feel it because I know that many of us are at critical points in our lives, and maybe they're not dramatic days like what the Israelites lived today. Maybe there aren't rushing winds and voice of the Most High piercing through, and maybe there's not pillars of fire and clouds that aren't there, but maybe it's not dramatic like that, but maybe in the quiet places of your soul, you know you're at a critical moment. You know that there's some decisions that are yours to make, some steps that are yours to take, some life that you can walk into, some places of promise that you dream about, but God is saying to you, I know there's a sea in between you and the place of promise. I need you to walk into it. And what they discover, what the Israelite people discover today, when they take these steps and they discover something that's incredible about our God, and they discover something that was so important to them that they never stopped singing about it. And they discovered something that I want to share with you all today because those of us who are at critical moments, dramatic or otherwise, at places where we can decide to stay in Egypt or to step out into the life that we feel God whispering to our spirits, they discover something today, and it's powerful about the way God is. And what I want to share with you today is what they discover is that the water that scares you the most will become your wall. The things that scare you the most will become your strength. It will become that structure which gives you your power and your strength. And it will, the water they discovered became their wall. Anytime in scripture that the writer or the speaker says something twice, it means you really need to pay attention. The scripture does not waste words. And so anytime that something is repeated twice, it means it's the speaker or the writer is trying to say, hey, I need you to really pay attention to this. When God said to Samuel, 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 God was saying, I really need your attention. When Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he was saying, y'all, I'm not messing around with this part. That's my translation, the WRJV. He was saying, I really, anytime they say it twice, it's not to waste words. It's because it was something that was critical to the meaning of the text. And here when we see in verse 22 and in verse 29 that the writer, the lucky, fortunate soul who was able to recount these wondrous deeds of our God, the writer says it twice. In verse 22, the writer says, the Israelites went into the what? The sea on dry ground, and the waters formed a wall for them on their right and on their left. Then in verse 29, the writer says it again, that they walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. And I can just see the writer of this Exodus account, the fortunate soul who was able to recount the deeds of our God. I can just see that person sitting there and writing this story, and I can see the Holy Spirit swirling around and whispering to this person, hey, say that part twice. I need you to say that part twice, the part about the water becoming their wall. I need you to say that part twice, the Holy Spirit said, because my children in Brooklyn, a few thousand years from now, I know some of them are going to be facing some choppy waters of their own. And they're going to need to know something about the nature of their God. And though it's thousands of years later, they're going to need to know that the scary waters that they face, though they frighten them, though they don't know how they're going to cross them, they're going to need to know that those waters can also become their wall. That the scary things that they walk through, I wish I could say it how I feel it. I wish y'all could feel the way the Spirit said it to me, that the scary waters that you walk through, they're not just a good story. They're not just something to show you that you can make it through, or you make the lemonade out of lemons. No, that it's not just something that you get through, but the scary things that you walk through become your strength. Oh, that's why the Spirit told him, say it twice. Say it twice, because Will's going to need to know, that Will's going to need to know in 2019 that what is scaring him right now is going to become the thing that is his power. Jan is going to need to know in 2019 that what's scaring her is going to become her testimony, that she is going to be so strong because of what she walks through. Oh, I feel the Spirit telling us that those things that scare us the most, the water that we don't think we can cross, it's going to become our wall. Those things, the addiction you fought and you conquered, is the thing that makes you a powerful instrument in the hand of God. The sickness that you battled and you conquered makes it so you don't tremble when you walk into your friend's hospital room, everybody else shaking on their knees, but you know the power of the Lord. The things you go through, they became their structure and their strength. I need you to see them. Imagine with me, because I can't say it the way it needs to be said. You got to imagine with me. They're walking through this water. It scares them. It terrifies them. They're not sure if the wind's going to stop blowing at any point, but maybe like halfway through the sea, as they walk, as they say, God, okay, you said walk into the sea. I'm terrified, but I'm going. Maybe about halfway, they start to look around and see, you know what? That water that was so scary to me, that water that terrified me, that water I thought was going to kill me. Do y'all hear me? That water I thought was going to kill me. I looked to my right and I looked to my left.
Yes.
And what I thought was just water,
amen,
it is a wall around, amen, me. It is what is making me strong. It is what's making me powerful. The water became their wall. I need you also to know something. The water was not just their wall. Didn't just make them strong so they could get through things. I need you to know it also became their weapon. You see this turn in the text? as they walked and they began to feel a little bit less afraid and a little bit held their head a little higher and said, you know what? I have some strength in me because I see that this water is not going to kill me. In fact, it's making me stronger. And as they began to feel the power of the God that was their God, as they began to feel the power of being a child of God, ooh,
yes,
they began to see that the water was not just a wall, it became their weapon. Do you see that? That after they had made it through, I need y'all to hear this. After they had made it through that water that scared them the most and they were on the other side, after they had made it through, God said, okay, you are through. I'm going to take that water that scared you, turn it into your weapon. God stopped blowing the wind. God stopped blowing that east wind and the water came crashing down upon their enemies, those who were trying to do them harm, those who were trying to do harm to the children of God, and the enemies were drowned in the ocean. The same water that scared them became their weapon. If I had never been through anything, if I had never walked through any water in my life, if I had been through nothing, I would have nothing with which to fight the battles I have to fight as a pastor. If I had never been through anything, I would have nothing, no words to put on these fights that to give you so you could fight the fights you have to fight. If you had never been through anything, you would not have a weapon in your hand to fight the enemies that come against you. If you've not been through anything, you would not know. But because you have been through something, you can say, I know there is a God in heaven. And I know what God can do. Hallelujah. The waters you go through will become your strength. They will become your weapon. You will not be the same. You will not be the same. You will not just be a survivor. You will be a warrior. Ah. Y'all, I have seen people, my own self, we have all been tempted to stay where we are because we're afraid of what's in front of us. But I'm trying to tell you today, there's something in the water. God is saying, walk into the sea. I will be with you every step of the way. And that water that you're so scared of will become your strength, will become your weapon, and you will come out on the other side, victorious in a way you didn't know you could be, different than you were when you started, with a strength that's not your own, with a strength that comes from the God of the universe, with a strength that comes from the one who walks with you and talks with you. But it's all predicated. Their greatest victory was predicated on their ability to walk through that water. I don't know about you, but if there's a promise on the other side, there's something God needs me to do, I want to heed that voice. I want to walk when God says walk. I want to go where God says, because I want to trust that God will get me there. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and give some praise to our God who is your strength. Come on, let's give God some praise, because we know about these journeys that we are not alone. Come on, if you know the God who can get you through, let's give God some praise like we mean it.